When it comes to mass poisoning events, it can be hard to ascertain which was the worst in history. As we explained in Virus Mania, sometimes alleged infectious diseases such as polio are used as cover stories to deceive the public as to what happened. In that case, pesticides such as lead arsenate and DDT were the culprits. However, most of the poisoning was intermittent and variable over several decades in first world countries in the middle of the last century. On other occasions, the poisoning only affects a particular demographic, such as pregnant women, as in my video, Safe and Effective, Then and Now. However, sometimes a mass poisoning event is so obvious that a cover story is not going to be bought by anyone. I'm not talking about the COVID-19 jabs, as unfortunately, there are still plenty of people buying that cover story. So let's have a look at the worst industrial poisoning event that has ever been admitted.
Through these fields of destruction, baptisms of fire, I've witnessed your suffering as the battle reached high. And in the fear and the alarm, you did not desert me, my brothers and arms.
Bhopal is the capital city of Madhya Pradesh, a state in central India. Known as the City of Lakes with its 17 lakes, it was named after Paramara King Bhoj. To his name was added Pal, which legend says is the dam that he built from the surrounding lakes. Most of us would find it very hot there, with daytime temperatures often above 35 degrees Celsius or 95 degrees Fahrenheit. The current population of Bhopal is around 1.5 million people, and in 1984, the population was estimated to be around 850,000. The Dow Chemical Company is a juggernaut corporation, with a revenue in 2022 totaling $57 billion. Known as the Chemical Company's Chemical Company, it is hard to estimate how much damage Dow has done to the environment, but it is a lot. It has profited from numerous wars, and some of its products have included bromine for tear gas, napalm, and the dioxin-containing Agent Orange. However, the story is about the Union Carbide Corporation, another American chemical company that has been wholly owned by Dow since 2001. In fact, it is about Union Carbide India Limited, Union Carbide's chemical production wing in that country from 1934 to 1994. In the 1950s, with the widespread agricultural boom, Union Carbide wasn't going to miss out on the action and made plans to manufacture pesticides in India. In 1969, as part of the expansion, the company began building a new chemical factory in the city of Bhopal. Union Carbide's product was Carbaryl, which they had introduced in 1958 under the brand name Seven. Carbaryl is used mostly as an insecticide and is part of the carbamate family. This class of chemical was of interest to the military, who attempted to develop some of the compounds as nerve agents. Carbaryl kills insects, crustaceans, and plankton, and is also toxic to mammals, including humans. It is classified as a likely human carcinogen by the United States Environmental Protection Agency, and its use was prohibited by the EU in 2007. In the United States, it continues to be used widely, both on the domestic front and in larger applications, including forestry. Let's go to a public television gardening program to learn about Carbaryl.
Because it is a non-selective, it will kill, you know, just most insects, that it, including beneficials.
Right, so the bees or something, yeah, that comes to mind.
Right. So be careful when you use it. Yeah. Follow the label and target, you know, the pest that you want to kill.
Considering that most Carbaryl gets distributed outside and its half-life in soil is up to 2 or 3 months, it would be pretty hard to target one thing. To be fair to the family plot show, they do advise using alternative pest control measures wherever possible. In any case, we have been on a little segue because the mass poisoning event we are talking about was not caused by Carbaryl. It was caused by one of the ingredients used to make the product. Union Carbide had an inexpensive way of producing Carbaryl by mixing 1-naphthol with methyl isocyanate, or MIC. The latter is a colourless and volatile liquid that boils at 38 degrees Celsius or 100 degrees Fahrenheit. When mixed with water, MIC is rapidly consumed and generates a lot of heat, the importance of which will become apparent soon. The chain of events that took place in Bhopal is documented on the International Campaign for Justice in Bhopal website, bhopal.net. I'll put the link in the show notes. In summary, there was a series of shady deals between Union Carbide and the Indian government, where the former maintained 50.9% control of Union Carbide India, with the government being a junior partner. The corporation used its influence to take a series of shortcuts in building the factory and getting exemptions from zoning restrictions. As reported on Bhopal.net, what was actually built in Bhopal was as far from state-of-the-art as possible. UCC made an investment of $20 million to build the plant in Bhopal. Carbide's own documents show that the company trimmed $8 million off their initial cost estimates, as the plant was supposed to cost a total of $28 million. Installing safety devices can cost between 15 to 30% of the outlay at a plant's inception, so this amounts to $3 to $6 million. In 2002, internal Union Carbide documents came to light and revealed for the first time that the technology used at the fatal Bhopal factory, including the crucial units manufacturing carbon monoxide and MIC, was unproven, meaning the company knew it could pose unknown risks. This is how they had saved so much money. They didn't install safety mechanisms that had been tried and tested and known to be effective. In May 1982, Bhopali journalist Raj Kumar Keswani started publishing articles about the dangers of the Union Carbide factory, including one titled Bhopal, sitting on top of a volcano. However, the situation got worse, as lower than anticipated demand for pesticides led the company to make further cutbacks on staff and safety measures. And while in Europe, the maximum permissible storage limit for MIC is half a ton, on the night of December 3rd, 1984, Union Carbide had 67 tons of the toxin in just 2 tanks. All that was required now was a detonator. That came in the form of a leaky pressure valve and a cost-cutting jumper line that allowed water to pour into the E610 storage tank to start a runaway reaction with 42 tons of methyl isocyanate. The various safety systems were inadequate and/or insufficient, and 30 tons of toxic MIC went into the atmosphere in less than 1 hour, increasing to a total of 40 tons within 2 hours. A giant poisonous cloud wafted over the city, and in another debacle, the public siren that sounded briefly was then turned off, as per company procedure, to avoid disturbing the public with false alarms. What happened to the people on the ground on the night of December 3rd, 1984 has been told on the Bhopal.net website. The following is their story. A cold midnight wind blew through the city with stars glistening through the thin pall of smoke from cooking fires recently extinguished. Here and there, small coal heaters were burning to warm those who were obliged to be out late. Then death came, hurtling out of the sky. At the Union Carbide Pesticides Factory, a thin plume of white gaseous vapour began streaming from a high structure. Caught by the wind, the gas became a haze and blew downward to mix with smoke coming from near the ground. A dense fog formed. This poison gas knew no boundaries. Nudged by the wind, it rolled across the road and into the alleys on the other side. Here the houses were packed close, ill-built, with badly fitted doors and windows. Those within were roused in darkness to the sound of screams. The gases were already upon them, in their eyes, noses, and throats, and it felt like fire. It felt like somebody had filled our bodies up with red chilies. Aziza Sultan, a survivor, remembers, "At about 12:30 a.m. I woke to the sound of my baby coughing badly. In the half-light I saw that the room was filled with a white cloud. I heard a lot of people shouting. They were shouting, 'Run, run!' Then I started coughing. Each breath felt as if I was breathing in fire. My eyes were burning." Another survivor, Champa Devi Shukla, remembers that, "It felt like somebody had filled our bodies up with red chilies. Tears coming out of our eyes. Our noses were watering. We had froth in our mouths. The coughing was so bad that people were writhing in pain. Some people just got up and ran in whatever they were wearing, even if they were wearing nothing at all. People were only concerned about how they would save their lives. They just ran. Those who fell were not picked up by anybody. They just kept falling and were trampled on by other people. People climbed and scrambled over each other to save their lives. Even cows were running and trying to save their lives and crushing people as they ran. In those apocalyptic moments, no one knew what was happening. People simply started dying in the most hideous ways. Some vomited uncontrollably, went into convulsions and fell dead. Choking with violent convulsions, many Bhopal residents drowned in their own body fluids. Many were crushed in the stampedes through narrow gullies, where street lamps burned a dim brown through clouds of gas. The force of the human torrent wrenched children's hands from their parents' grasp. Families were whirled apart. The poison cloud was so dense and searing that people were reduced to near blindness. As they gasped for breath, its effects grew even more suffocating. The gases burned the tissues of their eyes and lungs and attacked their nervous systems. People lost control of their bodies. Urine and feces ran down their legs. As they ran, pregnant women spontaneously miscarried, losing their unborn children as their wombs opened and bled out. More than 500,000 people were exposed to Union Carbide's poison gases. When dawn broke over the city, thousands of bodies lay in heaps in the streets. Even far from the factory, near the lake, at Rani Hira Pati Ka Mahal, the ground was so thick with dead that you could not avoid treading on them. The army dumped hundreds of bodies in the surrounding forests, and the Betwa River was so choked with corpses that they formed log jams against the arches of bridges. Families and entire communities were wiped out, leaving no one to identify them. Around 500,000 people were exposed to the MIC cloud that night, and although the quote official death toll was said to be 2,259, the International Campaign for Justice in Bhopal says there could not have been less than 8,000 deaths in the first week alone. Taking into account the longer term deaths, the ICJB believes it had reached at least 30,000 by the year 2014. Union Carbide's official position was that the disaster was caused by employee sabotage. I could not find any official position on the reckless practice of storing over 40 tons of methyl isocyanate in one crappy container next to hundreds of thousands of people. And despite Raj Kumar Keswani's articles warning of the impending disaster, Union Carbide claimed that there were no safety issues in 1982, according to Union Carbide. To us, the disaster raises the wider issue of the dubious practice of producing these chemicals in the first place. Bhopal was a horrific example of acute poisoning, but it is far more difficult to detect chronic environmental poisoning, which leads to longer-term ill health. These are products that are sold to the public and alleged to be safe, if used as advised by the label, of course. The mass application of pesticides and herbicides is not a disaster waiting to happen. It has already happened, and most people have no idea how contaminated many environments and food sources are. If a plant is infested with insects or fungus, it is because something is already wrong with the plant, or it has been planted in the wrong place. In other words, the terrain. It is not time to make the overall situation worse by adding chemicals. Just as Big Pharma has been poisoning people by marketing their chemical as treatments, Big Chemical has been poisoning the entire environment by marketing their products as essential for farming. It has been almost 40 years since Bhopal. The victims should not be forgotten, and in the ashes of the disaster, we can all strive to do our best to learn about better ways to look after the environment and ourselves. If you enjoyed this video, please visit supportdrsam.com